The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Well, good morning, everybody. What a great day in Chicago.
You're such a liar.
Betty has already had a morning, and it is 7 a.m. And as you can quickly tell, this is not Cap and J-Hood.
Yes.
It's Peg and D-Mill. We're back.
Peg and D-Mill.
We're back.
You're only D-Mill when you're filling in for J-Hood.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
Okay.
That's the only time I go by D-Mill. Oh, yesterday I had people, you know, when people call and they don't know how to pronounce your name.
Yeah.
Oh, so many Donnies and Diane's. And I was like, you mean Dion. If I'm feeling really salty and they ask for Donnie, I'll say no and hang up. Like, is Donnie there? No, and hang up. Anyway, let's not get off topic. Peggy, you're here. Thank goodness. That was touch and go. About 20 minutes ago, we weren't sure you were going to make it.
Can I just say, I am a morning person. Okay?
I love the defensive approach.
I'm going to start on the defense. And everyone who is heading to work right now is going to understand this. I do not have a problem getting up in the morning.
No.
I usually get up anytime between 4:30 and 5:30.
Same.
Right?
Yes.
My issue is I don't get moving. I like to ease into my day. So I can literally sit on the computer for 3 hours. And my day really starts like 7:30, 8 o'clock. And then I get going.
Okay. Yeah.
I get my daughter off to school. She gets on the train at 6:20 a.m. So, you know, we're doing
Keep
stuff.
Up in, yeah.
Yes. Got up. No problem today. Checked the headlines. No problem today. Went and got ready for work. Left the house at 5:45. I was like, this is good. Everything's working great. Until I looked at two things on my dashboard that got my heart racing.
Tell us.
And number one was the GPS. Now, I know how to get here.
Yeah, of course.
Why do I put GPS on? Because I want to know exactly what time I'm going to arrive.
When I'm going to get there. Yeah, what's happening? Yes.
And it went from 35 minutes to 55 minutes. Literally, like, I was halfway here and screeching halt on the Eisenhower.
What was it?
And it, well, I'm thinking it's the guy that escaped from the police yesterday. And I'm like, oh, great. Here I am on the Eisenhower.
I love that your brain went there first and not to, like, maybe there's a fender bender.
Oh,
like, immediately,
no. We're
picking up criminals on the Eisenhower.
Yes,
there was no in between.
Because I'm like, how did this guy get lost? Like, how did they not find this guy? He's in handcuffs, went out the back window of the cop car.
I mean,
and you can't find him?
That's insane. It's insane. You're right. I so clearly
so
you
I
did read the headlines
yes.
before you got in the car.
Yes. So I'm like, oh, you know what? Like, crap. I'm looking around. I'm making sure my doors are locked because that's all I could think of it. And then I'm like, I have to text Shay and tell him, our wonderful producer, Shay Norling. I'm like, I got to tell that, like, I don't know what time I'm going to get there. We were at a standstill.
Yes.
And anyone that takes the Eisenhower knows this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I would take my kids to school when they were late. It would take an hour and a half to get downtown. I live 28 miles from downtown.
Yeah.
And it normally would take an hour and a half. So that's why they take the train. So I text, and I think, you know, Shay was probably laughing because all he could think about is, oh, this is show material.
Yeah, of course, radio content. It's like radio.
Both of us were
gold.
Laughing. Don't worry.
We all were like, I mean, the meeting was very relaxed, even without you, because we knew that this would fill a good hour of our show.
Oh, my gosh. Honestly,
I was almost hoping that you would be late and we would get to call you on the phone and get Peggy live from the road with her road rage. That would have been fantastic.
That would have been awesome. That would have been awesome.
So no sign of the missing refuge, whatever. What do you call the guy? The prisoner,
convict.
Whatever. Convict. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't been convicted yet. You know, he was stealing.
Then,
he was
I
caught
guess?
Stealing catalytic converters. In Elmhurst, and they were transporting him when he somehow, while handcuffed,
yeah,
got out
possible?
Of the back window of
how
the cop car. I'm still trying to figure this out. At what point...
He's an escape artist. Outrageous.
At what point is the guy in your back seat so obviously trying to get out that you,
that
don't,
you don't
pull over?
Pull over and notice that...
And
that,
put him in bigger restraints,
right?
I mean...
Fugitive.
So, yes.
Totally.
And so I'm thinking, now I'm like, my heart is racing a little bit because I'm thinking, here we go. Okay, there's something. They either caught him or he's running down the middle of the Eisenhower with his handcuffs on.
I'm guessing if he was able to get out of the car.
Overweight cop chasing him.
And Peggy's sweating. She's like screaming at everyone around here.
Get him!
I gotta go.
Get him! I gotta get to work.
Oh my gosh.
The other thing on my dashboard, deep breath, that really got me worried was I forgot to get gas last night. Oh,
this is the story of my life. I'm always that person with the light on, really praying I get where I'm supposed to go.
I had my fantasy football draft last night.
With all the women.
Yes, with all the
fun.
Women. And I am not on Team Camel Toes, by the way. But that is one of the teams. What can I not say that?
Of course you can say it. Okay. I just wasn't ready. It's
oh, sorry.
Okay. I wasn't prepared for camel toes now.
And I am not on a team keeping up with the Kadijans. There's a nickname of the golf course that is like, it's a Kadija course. And so they called it, one of them is keeping up with the Kadijans.
What did you end up going with for your team name?
Bears Naked Lady.
That's what it was.
So I'm on E. And my car typically will say 30 miles.
Yeah, how many miles are left?
29 miles, 28, and
12.
It wasn't doing it. And so I hit the, since I was stopped in traffic.
Since you had nothing to do.
Started reading the headlines, sitting in my car. I pressed the warning light for information, and it says, please refuel now.
Well, I know.
do you find nearest service station.
That's what it said.
And you can press it, and then it'll tell you where. Well, I know where they all are. And I'll tell you what, I'm not getting off the Eisenhower.
No, I can't do that right now. Right. Oh, my gosh.
So I'm like, oh, I know I could get there. Like, I know. I know we're only like 9 miles. From.
Right.
So I thought, no, I'm gonna risk this. Could you imagine
if you had also run out of gas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. That would happen.
Yeah, like. Austin, Keeler, right where the guy, again, escaped.
Where the fugitive is at, waiting to attack you.
Yes.
To take your catalytic converter.
Can we talk about White Girl Radio? I mean, I would, yes.
Oh, my
Lord. Oh, my gosh. Like, they'd be, that girl is stupid.
Target.
Stupid. So I was panicking because it's on E.
Well, it may not start now, but at least you're here.
And, Shay, I parked in one of the spots that said ESPN. I've never noticed that before because I've never been here when those spots were open. Is that okay or is that for management?
JR would answer that better. I don't drive very often. I'm a bus/train guy usually because I live in the city.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't been told no yet. So,
oh,
I mean, I
think
I
you're
just
okay. There's so many people on vacation already today.
Right. This office is a great
one. Oh, it's a holiday weekend.
So I really wouldn't. That's why we're here. Remember, we're filling in.
Oh, is that why?
I think so, yeah. The boys are on vacation, or they're enjoying the long weekend, or what
it
have
did
you.
Not even occur to me
that
it was the holiday weekend.
Yeah, people are already firing up the grill and enjoying it, especially because college football was last night. continues tonight.
Yep.
The only game that matters happens tomorrow on ABC.
Is that the Ohio State game?
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, it's the holiday. It's Labor Day weekend, which is crazy. Like, that is a crazy story, though, because I've been there.
There is no... So much. Like, what's the worst you've been late for something?
Well, I was trying to think of this. So, when I was at Fox 32, we were in New York. The Bears were playing the Giants? The Bears were playing the Jets. And we were doing the final word. It was a Monday night game, I believe. And we were doing the final word at the stadium.
Yeah.
I was Uber. And I was in an Uber. And
oh, gosh. In New York.
I was coming in from... We didn't stay in New York. We stayed in New Jersey.
Yeah, in the Meadowlands.
And so... But I was coming in late because my problem is not that I'm not ready. It's that I think I can do one more thing before I get in the car.
Yes.
So I pushed it right up to the end. But I'm in the Uber... And he didn't know his way around the stadium. I can see the live shot. Like, I can see
the lights
and the cameras. And I'm texting my cameraman. I know. Texting my cameraman. I'm like, I can see you. We don't know how to get to you. And I totally missed my time slot. And he was talking to the producer. And he's like, she's close. And I don't even remember what the issue was. But I'm sweating. I hate being late. I hate it so much. And I was sweating. And I missed my live shot completely. That's like the only time in my whole career I've ever missed my live shot.
Is there anything in your personal life that you have been late for that really was...
Like scarred me because I was late? I don't know. I mean, like, I don't remember.
I'm late so often that...
I typically am, run like we've said a thousand times, coming in hot. I'm usually like, I'll be right there, right on the cusp. For twice in my tiny ESPN 1000 radio career have I been sweating it out. Once was coming down for the Bears pregame show. And during Marathon Sunday.
Oh, okay. That is the worst.
Oh,
and all of a sudden,
goodness.
All the streets are closed.
And that's when I should have used my Waze app, because that would have told me, go down further south, take Lower Wacker. Like, I would have been here right on time. Instead, I was caught west of the, or what would that be? West of the river? Is that right?
South of the river.
Wherever I was, I couldn't get across any bridges because everything
was...
Oh,
they were all
closed.
Oh, gosh.
And I missed, and I'm texting Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller. Jeff, of course, because he can host by himself with his eyes closed. He hosted, like, I don't think I got here until, like, the first 15 minutes. I missed the first 15 minutes of the show. I was sick to my stomach. It was awful. Awful. Then the other time it happened, I was doing the pregame for White Sox at the stadium. And I left my house at 11:15 or so. I didn't need to be there till 12:30. And I was like, I'll be there just on time. Like,
wait,
it'll be
pre-game?
Fine. A pregame, yeah, for the White Sox. So I was going down to the South Side. And I thought I'd be right on time. No. Traffic was...
Was that for the
insane.
Radio station you were doing pregame?
And I was doing it from the stadium.
Oh, Dion.
So, and I'm texting Eric Ostrowski, and I was like, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. And... I said, it says, you know, 11:45. And then I was like, well, it says this. Well, as I got closer to the stadium, traffic was building.
Of course.
We're getting closer to game time.
Yes.
Finally, I turn like close to where I'm supposed to park. I look at this security person. I hold up my media badge and I was like, I got to get in there. He looks at me. He's like, follow me. So he had me literally park on a side street.
Yep.
And then I ran in.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to go on at 12:30. I walked into the studio at 12:23.
Holy, that is horrible.
And then I sat down and he says, turn around, let me take a picture. And he took a picture of me and I was like, aha! I
mean,
I was so stressed out, Piggy, and I felt terrible. I was sick to my stomach.
Yeah. It's a horrible feeling.
It's
a horrible
feeling.
It doesn't make us get moving earlier.
No, it doesn't change.
I know.
To do a thousand things before I walk out the door.
I know. I have a horrible, really obnoxious chick late story when I worked at CLTV, Chicagoland Television.
Oh, yeah?
Like, really obnoxiously stupid that only a girl would do. And I will tell you that.
Oh, I gotta
when we
hear
come
this
back.
Story.
And hey, you guys have some really bad. I was late for this because of this.
Yes.
Give
tell
us a call.
Us. Give
312-332-3776. It's Peggy and Dion filling in for Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Cap Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We're rolling into the holiday weekend here on ESPN Chicago. I'm Dion Miller. That's Peggy Kaczynski. We are filling in for Cap and Jay Hood and happy to be doing so. We're just thrilled that we're here. We took a minute to breathe. During the break, because we've been talking about being late for stuff. And it is my pet peeve to be late.
And yet
I still push it.
I do too. Because
what is that
I'm
about?
Like, I think women are like that more. I think women feel like we can do one more thing. Because we're constantly balancing a million different things. My husband is really, really anal about being on time. He's early all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. And it drives him crazy. If my kids or anyone is walking out the door 10 minutes before they have to be somewhere, he's like, you should always be 15 minutes early.
Early, yeah. It drives my husband crazy, too, because I push it till the last second to, like, pick up the kids, to drop off the kids. We're always flying out the door. It's like your hair's on fire.
It's a horrible
every morning. And he's like, it's not a surprise. We know what time we're supposed to be at school. This is not a surprise. Why are we running out this way? But if he doesn't want to go to something, then no, we're not leaving early.
I know. And yet my kids do the same thing now. They don't want to, they never leave early. And I say, oh, you have to, traffic. I should listen to my own,
I gave myself
an hour and 15 minutes.
But in a normal situation, that would be.
But there's never anything normal with traffic in Chicago.
That's true. Although when I come downtown, I live 12 miles from the station. And my commute that early in the morning is 12 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
And if it was always that way, I would love everything about driving downtown. Yeah. But it's never. I mean, there are times it can take that. 12 miles can take an hour and a half.
It's a shock. I was not late to my own wedding. I mean, that's seriously, the way I manage the clock.
What time of day?
It's.
Did you get married?
Oh, do you remember? I don't remember. It was 25 years ago.
But I was very intentional about my time of day.
What?
Oh, yes. I wanted a night wedding.
Oh.
I wanted, well, like 5 o'clock. And then I wanted dinner and I wanted like to dance the night away. Like that's, I was very intentional about doing an evening wedding.
Oh my gosh, that is so fairy tale.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. No, I was like, whatever, you tell me. You know, we're going to be drinking in the morning anyways. We're going to have mimosas while we're getting our hair and nails done. And I do remember, because it was October, so I remember. I think the wedding was in the afternoon around between 1 and 3. I don't know. I don't know what time our wedding was at.
Ours was in August because we have so many friends who covered Ohio State. We got married in Columbus. So we had so many friends who cover college football. We couldn't have it on a college football Saturday.
There were people who were late for our reception. We were on a boat at Navy Pier for the reception. And our church was so small, we did it in the monastery of our, because the church wasn't available.
Yeah.
So the monastery for the priest was right behind our church. And so we did it in their chapel.
Oh,
so it was
cute.
Only enough room for family.
Yeah.
So we thought this is good because now we're asking people to go from the northwest side of the city in the Norwood Park neighborhood downtown to Navy Pier. And so that's great. They don't have to come to the church. Just get to Navy Pier. The boat is leaving at 6 o'clock.
Oh, that's very cool.
And an entire family, adults, an entire family missed the boat. Because they didn't know that they had to park. Like, I'm sorry.
Okay, what?
Family. I know. It's really crazy. I know you guys, I am not the only one that is always late. I'm going to tell you my horrible story.
Oh, yes, I need to hear that
in a second. But I want to go out to Tom in Oak Lawn because he has a story about being late for. I mean, it's horrible.
It's when you're late.
It's a horrible feeling.
And
it's a bad way to start your day.
No doubt.
Tom, how are you?
Good morning.
I'm good. My son's JV team won their first game last night. So we're on cloud nine. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I had signed up for this local race, half marathon, 10K. I want to say this was like 5 years ago or so. And I'm dropping my son off at my mom's thinking, okay, the race is at 8. You know, I still got plenty of time. It's 7 o'clock right now. And then, I don't know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know what? Let's just double check here. I double check. The race was actually at 7. So I was already late.
Oh, my gosh.
So then I'm doing like a cannonball run to make sure that I get down there. I put my bib on my shorts. I park the car and I run.
You gassed yourself before you even ran the half marathon.
Yeah.
Oh
my gosh. Well, and what's great is what is really great too is that because it was a local one, like there was a ton of people that I knew, like from my running group and friends of mine that were either running it or were there volunteering. Or where, you know, they're just to cheer on. So, like, I get to mile two, and there are a couple of my friends that were there cheering me on and a bunch of our other friends. And they just see me, and they're like, Tom, what are you doing? Why are you here? And because it was a 10K at mile three, there were people I knew that were running the 10K. They were running back to the finish line, seeing me as I'm still going. So since then, up until this day, if I show up even only like 2-3 minutes early or 5 minutes early or something like that for any of our events, when we go out for my running group, they're like, oh, well, there's Tom running late again. So.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Go ahead, Tom.
That was back when I was fast. So funny thing is, I was actually able to catch up to a lot of people.
Good for you.
And
wow.
Pass people up. So, of course, that was back when I was, you know, young and spry and in shape, where now I'm, you know, old and such. So
now you just sit in the lawn chair and wave to them when they go by. People like Dion are jogging in the neighborhood, and I just wave to them. I'm like,
I know I'm more that old man that has that delusion that I'm still in my 20s, you know. And then I go throw like 20-30 yard passes to my son and 10 of his teammates, and then I look like Ben Roethlisberger with the ice pack when I'm done with it.
I love it, Tom.
Love it, Tom.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Best of luck to your son on his season. That's awesome.
Right.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. So Barack Obama was always late for his press briefings. And I learned this when we would go to the White House when, I'm so losing track of, you know, 3 Stanley Cups with the Blackhawks going to the White Sox, but that was with Bush. I'm trying to think who else. Oh, well, the Cubs, but that was not. So I couldn't believe the difference in the different presidential administrations in terms of when you do those trophy presentations and the meet and greets, you know, with the president and winning teams. And like the Bush administration, they were chop, chop, chop. You could not be late or you did not get in the press briefing. And it ran like a military clock, right? Then we go to the Barack Obama ones. You could sit there for an hour and a half. And it was like, I looked around and the reporters that cover the White House, they just look and they go, oh, yeah, that's just how this one is. And then you go to the next administration with
Trump.
And
it's different again.
And it's different again, you know. So, my story was I was anchoring at Chicagoland TV, CLTV, and the studios were in Oak Brook. And I would go on the air at 5:20, 6:20, 10:20. And I had a hair appointment at the Oak Brook Mall at 3 o'clock. And I thought, oh, gosh, no problem. It's going to be really quick. I'll get off at 4. My scripts are all written. And then I'll be back and for the 5 o'clock show, right? No. She was running late, and I got in her chair late, and then I got out of her chair at 4:20, and literally, I mean, it was a couple miles away. That's it. There was traffic. I don't know what happened. I had to call them. Thank goodness Jill Carlson was reporting that day.
Yeah.
I said, Jill, can you go do my update for me at 5:20 or 6:20? I don't remember what time it was. The scripts are all in there. I missed. Can you imagine the sports anchor is not in
there.
The studio? Why? Because she's getting her hair done.
Oh,
I mean, that's a chick thing.
It is.
That's a terrible, but it's bad.
That's like because you couldn't decide on your outfit. That's almost that bad.
Right? I mean, that is, yeah. Being late is not fun.
Hey, it's not fun.
It is a free ticket Friday for the last time this summer. We will do that later on in the morning show here. But what's also, it is Bears talk because Ryan Poles met the media along with assistant GM Ian Cunningham yesterday. So we want to talk about the Bears coming up next. It's Peggy and Dion in for Cap and Jay Hood, ESPN 1000. Listen, sometimes not everything works in the morning, okay?
What just happened?
Everyone needs to ease into their mornings.
Right.
And sometimes
our audio system needs coffee badly.
The audio system just needs wants to ease into their day.
The holiday weekend. We're taking
like
our time.
Me. All right. I'd like to ease into my day.
Yeah. No, I like that. I, on the other hand, get up and roll. I get up and go.
And you get going. Well, mm-hmm. You go and you run.
My first thing that I do is obviously take the dog out. Like, I get up. He knows it. We go out, come back. Then I go for a run or I ride the Peloton or I do some. I work out.
Yeah.
And then we get the kids ready for school. And, yeah, my kids don't go to school till 8:45. That's late.
Ooh, that is late.
Especially when my daughter gets up at, like, 6:15.
My daughter was supposed to. She's going to get really mad if she finds out I'm telling this story right now.
She's in school, though, right?
Yes, okay. She's in school. My daughter was supposed to dog sit.
I love how you're whispering. We love you, Stella.
Because I do not want her to hear this.
She's not going
to
hear it.
Oh, she never listens to me anyway. So,
right.
She was supposed to dog sit last weekend.
She forgot?
And on Tuesday, she was eating breakfast at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she burst into tears. She's like, oh, my gosh. I was supposed to dog sit over the weekend. And I was like, it was horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
It was horrible for our neighbors, our dear friends. It was horrible. So we're like, oh, gosh, it's Tuesday.
What did you do?
Well, I texted them.
Yeah.
I had to wait till 8 o'clock because I was so afraid. I didn't want to text them at 6 a.m. And I just told them. I said, two weeks into high school, she was so exhausted. She had Friday night football last weekend and got up, slept late Saturday, and she just completely forgot.
Yeah.
And I texted them, and they said, tell her it's okay. It wasn't too bad. I'm like, 2 days of the dog not eating, not drinking, pee and poop all over the house, right?
Oh,
Oh, God, I would have been livid. I mean, God bless them for understanding. But my husband tells my daughter, hey, I was pulling out of the driveway, and we saw, I'm not going to say their last name, we saw them walking the dog. And so my daughter's like, oh, thank goodness, you know, he's not dead.
Yeah.
And my husband goes, no, but he did look really thin.
So mean. This happened to my neighbors, my dear friends, and they have two dogs,
oh,
a kitten.
Gosh.
They have guinea pigs, and they have it's like a small farm. I tell her she has a small farm.
Oh.
It's that, but they had hired someone to watch the house and like to take care of the pets. 3 days. No food,
no
nothing.
No.
She called on Sunday to the girl and just said, hey, we're going to get home at this time. And she was like, am I supposed to be watching the pets? I didn't know that. And they thought the dogs ate the kitten. Like, they were, like, prepared for the worst. Everybody was fine.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, obviously.
That's just
the normal, but a horrible
feeling. I know. Someone who has some good feelings is Ryan Poles.
He does feel good about his team.
Yesterday, I was at Hallis Hall for the Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham press conference and open locker room, which I went to for the first time. They've had open locker room in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. It was
very interesting.
It was interesting and fun and oddly and very quickly normal.
Yes. And this was my favorite. Typically, I start, you know, tweeting out quotes from the press conferences. And I was kind of like just a little bit here, a little bit there. And then Ryan Poles was asked about his head coach, Matt Eberflus. And he said,
he is detailed. He's organized. He has a team around him to help him be organized. He's consistent. His message is clear. There is no gray area. When he approaches the team meetings and gets in front of the guys, he's got juice, but it's not fluff. It's not fake. It's real. And you can feel that energy that he has. And the guys love it. I love it. I'm so pumped about his leadership and how he's handled this team.
So what you missed at the very beginning, I love that dude.
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 Yeah, that needs to be a drop for like ever and ever. Amen.
Okay.
I love it.
If you go back on the entire press conference, I should have counted how many times he or Ian Cunningham said, I love that guy. I love that dude. I'm so proud of him. I'm
nothing
go
but love
roster.
In Hallis Hall right now.
Yes. They're very proud of Robert Quinn. They love Robert Quinn. They said they were proud of Sam Mustafa moving into the center position and after being at the guard. They said that they were proud of David Montgomery learning a new system and taking off and running with it, so to speak. They're like they really love Kyler Gordon.
They do.
And when I mean, it was really impressive. Ian Cunningham talked about Kyler Gordon in like he had to. After the answer, he was like, wait a second, let me just add some more. His balance is so incredible.
It's because he was a dancer.
I know. It's really amazing.
Really amazing.
They love the roster.
Yeah. They love the roster.
They love their coaching staff. Now, it makes you wonder who they don't love.
Right. I think that will become very clear quickly.
They're very proud of Tevin Jenkins.
Of course they are.
They talked about that. And but let's go back to Matt Eberflus. So we all went, when he was hired, a little vanilla toast, a little milk bread, like, okay. Things are run like
so well.
He's a CEO.
Yeah.
And it's very,
I'm not mad at a business like Approach, Peggy. I'm not. They haven't had that in a very long time. He is not about
the guys he's surrounded himself with. He has a, I wish I had the list here of the guys, what their titles are. It's, he has it's like a, I want to say it's like a press secretary.
Yeah.
And it's someone who prepares him, for his day, tells him what his, it's like a secretary, but tells him everything that he has going on. He's got a, the mental skills coach that they hired. They also have, it's, the guy who's analytics that shows him, you know,
shows him things.
Here's, this is what like every situation possible that you are going to encounter as a head football coach. You know,
it's speaking of someone who is never late.
Oh no,
Matt Eberflus is never late. He is never wavering in his expectation of himself and of his team. They know it, and I am pleasantly surprised at how into it this group is, and it just reminds me that they need that kind of structure, that they need that kind of those boundaries, right? It's very clear to them what is expected of them, and if they're not going to get on board, then they better get out of the way, because that is the way this Bears team is going to be run, and if you don't like it, we don't have time for that. And I appreciate that about him. And I've never had a head coach sit down for press conferences after every single practice and thank his players.
Right.
He does it every single time.
And so does his staff now.
Yeah.
They always thank them. They thank the fans.
Well, they acknowledge that this is a team environment. Like they, that it is a, we have to all be working together and respect each other. And respect is a big deal.
So here are some of the new positions that Matt Eberflus has hired as head coach of the Bears. Sean McGee is his chief of staff. Mm-hmm. Just, so that's what I said. It's like a press secretary. That's his chief of staff. Kevin Koch is his coaching assistant, so he'll give him like his schedule for the day. Mm-hmm. He has Harrison Freed, the director of research and analytics. That's, I mean, they have him, but I don't think people have used that type of position the way he is. And they have Mike Wiley Jr., director of player development and mental skills, amongst others. I mean, there is definitely a structure to the front office that is different than what they've had in the past. And I like to, it's akin to Notre Dame and the Lou Holtz days, when Lou Holtz always hired everyone below him, and he was the CEO of Notre Dame football. Mm-hmm. And it's very much like that now with Matt Eberflus and the Bears at Hallis Hall. It's very impressive.
It is.
And I'm buying in too. I was very skeptical in the beginning, but I am definitely buying in.
He is a incredibly kind person, and I enjoy talking. He's not going to blow you out of the water with enthusiasm, but he's definitely got their attention at Hallis Hall. Okay, we got to go. We got to go take a break. But we're going to continue. Your shot at Sox tickets is coming up next. We have Shot or No Shot coming up at 8. The first hour is flying by, as it always does. She's Peggy. I'm Dion. This is ESPN 1000.
Cap, J, Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all the way.
Thank God that worked. It's Free Ticket Friday for the last time this summer, brought to you by Miller Lite. Caller 10 will get a pair of tickets to see the Sox versus the Tigers on September 24th. And courtesy of Miller Lite, you will also have the opportunity to win White Sox tickets tonight from 6 to 8 at these bars that are participating in Free Ticket Friday. Anastasia's Restaurant and Sports Lounge in Antioch and Pelican Harry's in Homer Glen. Take it from me. It is always Miller time.
Oh, that was cute.
Thanks, Peg.
I love
that. Waiting all day to say that.
So we were talking about the Bears and Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham's press conference. And we will hear from Courtney Cronin, our Bears insider, coming up at 9:15. First of all, a couple of my impressions. The Eberflus stuff, yes, I am definitely giving them the benefit of the doubt, because when you talk to the players, and they actually admitted that at first they weren't really buying into the HITS principle.
Yeah.
And now they see it. They have physical evidence on film when it fails and when it works. They've bought in.
Yeah.
Every player in the locker room yesterday that was asked about it was like, oh, yeah, no. No, I totally, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. I see it. I get it. So I think this is great. And it's especially good for your first year.
Yeah.
So now you have something, you have a rally
around that, yes,
that these guys can all get around.
All of them. And I think it, at first when they started bringing in guys from his defense in Indianapolis, I thought, okay, that's just too easy to inconvenient to bring, you know, guys that he knows, whatever. But I think that's played a huge role in it, because they have said, Al-Qaeda Muhammad has said more than once, it works. We respect him so much. He is, you know, and he even said he was more intense as a defensive coordinator than he is as a head coach. But to have him saying, guys, just listen to him. He knows what he's talking about. And that speaks volumes, mm-hmm, when you're a brand new coach coming in, first time head coach. And we've had a number of first time head coaches at Hallis Hall that have not come in with that kind of respect, right? And not right. had that respect right away. I think it's been very powerful to bring this group together in a quick manner. And being in the locker room, granted, it's a couple of minutes and it's not full, like we're not seeing everybody together. It doesn't feel like there's any tension right now, right?
Well, I would say one of the things I asked Ryan Poles was, with the Roquan Smith negotiations, mm-hmm, with that getting emotional, because he is representing himself, and more players are going to do that if this is going to be a little bit of a wave of the future. And the Tevin Jenkins, mm-hmm, trade rumors getting out. And yes, I did say trade rumors getting out. And it's not just rumors, trade talk getting out.
Yeah.
Because he did not say that was not true, that we are not shopping him. We are actively making. He did not say that.
He didn't say any of that.
He acknowledged the communication with the players could have been better.
Should he be traded?
Should he be worried about being traded?
I had a good conversation with him, and I told him how proud I was of him. And, you know, again, I think it's about building the best five, and I think we have a good five with him at guard. So I think it's good for us to have Tevin at guard right now.
That did not answer the question of, should Tevin Jenkins be worried about getting traded?
It's...
And he said was, we have a good five.
It's good for Tevin to be at guard right now.
Yes.
Not forever.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
I will say this. We talked to Tevin in the locker room on, my days are running together, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Wednesday. I asked him, like, is there a sense of relief that you made the 53-man roster? He said, absolutely not.
No.
And he even said, I wondered if today I was going to be traded. I guess that would have been Tuesday. He's like, I wondered. When I woke up this morning, if I would be on that roster this afternoon. And so he's got a lot to prove. And you and I were just discussing off the air a little bit. Is that why they bring in an Alex Leatherwood, to push him as well and to make sure that he keeps going? Because we've talked about that Tevin needs that needs to be pushed that
way. You think he needs to be pushed that way?
No. It's been said. I think they've said that since he was at Oklahoma State. Like, that was, he needed that.
Right. We said that it's, we don't know what kind of coach it is that
can get that.
Exactly.
Whatever it is. But right. You'll know it when you see it.
I don't know that that means that he needs to be motivated. I think when they bring it, first of all, you can never have too many offensive linemen.
Correct.
The other thing is, when Lucas Patrick comes back, Sam Mustipher moves back over to the right side of the line at guard.
Right.
Riley Reiff can play tackle or guard.
Literally anywhere.
So they have not committed yet to their starting line. So everyone, I think, is a little ahead of themselves. And when we come back, I am going to address the Twitter trolls that keep trying Yeah, because now that I'm awake, I have something to say.
Oh, I love it when Peggy has something to say. Well, that's coming up. Shot or no shot. Our first hour is done. We got two more to go. We'll talk to you guys after the break.